Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Audio bandwidth for Net at Night is provided by Winamp. Subscribe to Net at Night and all your favorite podcasts with the ultimate media player. Download it for free at winamp.com. Video bandwidth for Net at Night is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com. This is Net at Night with Amber MacArthur and Leo Laporte, episode 158, recorded July 6th, 2010. The way we're working isn't working. Net at Night is brought to you by Go to Assist Express. If you're in tech support, save time and money by supporting your clients and colleagues remotely with Go to Assist Express. For a free 30-day trial, visit gotoassist.com/night. And by squarespace.com, the fast and easy way to publish a high-quality website or blog. For a free trial and 10% off your new account, go to squarespace.com/night. And by hover.com. Hover is domain name registration and management that's simple. For 10% off your new domain, go to night.hover.com. It's time for Net at Night. From Petaluma, California, I'm Leo Laporte.
And from Toronto, Ontario, Canada, I'm Amber MacArthur, and hey, I'm not in a car.
You're not in a car, but you are sweltering hot.
Yes,
it smoking is hot.
Yeah, it's smoking hot here in Toronto. We're having a bit of a heat wave, and I think people have their air conditioning on full blast. And I like the weather, Leo. I have to say, I like the warm weather. I can't complain because we often have cold weather for much part of a lot of the year. So this is okay. I'm going to try to get through it.
How many degrees centigrade?
It is about 34 degrees Celsius today.
Ouch.
And then they have, of course, you know, it feels like 42 degrees. It is very humid. And I think that's the humidity that's really killing everybody.
Yeah. Oh, I bet. Yeah.
I just went and met some people and did this interview. And it took me literally like 20 minutes to walk maybe 4 or 5 blocks because you're just moving at such a slow pace. But, you know, it's supposed to let up by Friday.
Good.
Still far away, but...
Well, I'm sorry that you're sweltering. It's funny. It's either burning hot or freezing cold in Toronto. It doesn't seem like there's much middle ground. You get spring and fall, I guess.
Yeah, you have lots of middle ground out there. You have nice weather.
It's pleasant most of the time here. We rarely get super hot or super cold. It's almost always pleasant. And that's why I live here and not Toronto, because I like Toronto a lot. I do.
I know you do.
I like Chicago a lot, too.
I love Chicago.
I do, too. But the climate kills me.
It's U.S. cities, I think.
Yep. So we got a guest coming up. We tried to get him on last time we did the show, and he was in a hotel room, and we had bad Skype connection. But we've got Tony Schwartz this time. What is Tony's thing?
Yeah, he's an author. He's written a few books, including a book called The Way We're Working Isn't Working. And he also runs a website called The Energy Project. And his whole message right now is that people need to take time to have lunch. They need to get away from their computers. They need to take a break now and again. So I think it's good for our audience, who I'm sure a lot of us are, you know, sitting at desks all day.
I took 10 minutes for lunch.
That's not long enough, Leo.
I took my 10-minute lunch break right before this show.
Did you actually leave your desk?
I had to because they were relighting the studio, so I went into the other room and stood eating my lunch. It wasn't good.
So you weren't sitting. I mean, you weren't sitting down.
I wasn't sitting. I wasn't enjoying. I wasn't paying any attention. I was walking around answering questions. No, I was working.
It's nice to take a break. I mean, remember when we used to do Call for Help together? We would all go for lunch
that
at the community
nice.
Center across the street. And it was nice to, and we would take an hour and we would just kind of relax and unwind and then get back to work. And I mean, that's probably the last time I took an hour lunch.
I think we had to do that. So he says the average worker takes 20 minutes or less for lunch and mostly we eat at their desks.
Yeah,
that's
not
terrible.
Too much time.
That's
so
terrible.
Hopefully he'll give us some advice and... get us to be more productive.
Like the Italians. Know what the Italians say? No one ages when sitting at the table.
That's good.
It doesn't count against your total years, your span.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to get Tony on in just a second. Before we do, though, this bus never stops. We've got some great links for you. Amber's been searching the web for big stories.
Yeah, there are tons of news, Leo, right now. I feel like sometimes, you know, the news isn't that great, and then all of a sudden I'll go and I'll read all the different headlines and sites, and there's just a ton of news we need to talk about. This week, it's funny, there was some music-related news in the online world, and I thought this was kind of interesting. Lady Gaga, and I know we are both fans.
I love her.
I know. She's great. Well, she just surpassed 10 million Facebook friends.
Wow.
Say fans.
And we thought we had a lot with 5,000. Wow.
I know. So she set a new record. So this woman is unstoppable. I mean, she's 24 years old. She's really figured out how to take advantage of the internet to get her music out there, to produce videos, and all over the place.
How old is she?
I think she's 24.
Holy cow.
She doesn't look 24.
She's a kid.
She is a kid.
Wow. Do you think it's her, or do you think she has smart handlers?
I don't know. I mean, I think it's her in the sense that I think that she's
created a persona.
Very creative, yeah. And you know, just very determined. And every time I turn around, someone is talking about her. It's funny. I was just watching this little clip on ABC News, and they were mentioning that I guess in one of her videos, she's wearing these weird contact lenses that make her look like a cartoon character. And Now this is all the rage with younger people. I mean, she's infiltrating, I think, all parts of our lives.
It's amazing.
Kind of scary, kind
now I'm at facebook.com/LadyGaga. Is that the official place to go?
I think it is. Yeah, I think that's the official site. If you notice that she has
look at when she posts a little status update, it says 19,350 people like this.
I know.
3,041 comments. Holy moly.
It's just amazing. I think she's actually playing in Toronto this weekend, if I'm correct. I'm sure it's a sold-out concert, but the woman is out of control. I mean,
she actually posts from backstage and stuff, so no wonder people follow her. This seems real. Why does she call her fans monsters?
I think I've heard her say that before. I think it's just kind of a pet name for her fans. I've seen interviews with her where she's a little bit awkward.
Here she is. She's going to thank her monsters.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Hi, this is Lady Gaga, and I'm saying hello to all of my little monsters on Facebook. I love you guys so much. I'm on the road right now on my North American Monster Ball Tour, sold out across the United States, and I'm so, so excited to be traveling and coming to see you. So thank you so much for all of your love and your support, and for sticking by me through the fame and the fame monster. I love you. Become my friend on Facebook. I'll never forget you.
This says, I'll never forget you. You and the 10 million other people will never forget.
I know.
It's not exactly an intimate message she's passing along. I love you.
No, it's not a big surprise. I don't think she's revealing anything new. But you know what? I feel like to become mainstream like she has, she really has to kind of stick to sort of, you know, general messages. Not that, you know, she's going to say anything that surprises us, right? She's got to be a little bit careful, I think.
Yeah, that's too bad.
I know.
What would you tell her in your book? What would you say to Lady Gaga?
I would say that Lady Gaga should write the foreword for my next book, because obviously she's figured out if she can get to 10 million fans and all the success she's had on YouTube, then she's...
1 billion views on YouTube, 10 million fans on both records, by the way, on Facebook. That is pretty amazing, isn't it? 10 million is not that many if you think she has half a billion... Facebook has half a billion users, but it's still a lot of people.
It's still a ton of people. Yeah. I mean, I was surprised actually when I saw that there was a record-breaking number. I would have expected it would have been somewhat higher, but I think they compare it to President Barack Obama, who I think
he has like 300,000.
Yeah, and so he might even be next. So it just shows you that it's tough to build up.
Then I have to see. So he's how does he have millions?
I think so.
Let me just check.
I think he has to be more than a million now.
Hmm. You know, you can't tell if you're not signed into Facebook. This is my disadvantage as a non-Facebook user. I can see it, but I can't see things like how many fans he's got.
Sorry. Yeah, I have the notes right here just to see what he is
at. It said he's like 700,000 fewer than her. So that means he would be at 9.3 million.
Wow. It is that high. Huh.
That's amazing. It's so easy to become somebody's fan on Facebook. You just click a button.
Yeah, it's not exactly as though you're participating that much. I mean, it's also easy to like things on Facebook, and you just, you know, just click. It doesn't mean you're really engaged, I think. And it's funny, Leo, I was having a conversation with someone, and we were talking about Twitter, and they were saying that Ashton Kutcher retweeted something that they had tweeted, and they were tracking the links to see how many people had actually clicked on a certain destination. And this individual said he actually got more people engaged in clicking who posted the link who had just, like, you know, 10,000 followers than Ashton Kutcher. It really didn't make an impact. So his argument was that sometimes, even though people have millions and millions of followers or fans, they're really just not engaged at a level that most people would want. They just happen to have a lot of people following them.
Yeah. There was an article in TechCrunch, MG Siegler wrote about the fact LeBron James was a promoted top tweet. What do they call it? Trending tweets?
I saw that. Yeah. I hate that they do that.
Yeah. And so if you go, if you look at Twitter now, I'm just looking, and yeah, they have promoted trending. So Despicable Me is promoted. I don't know what that means.
I don't understand. I mean, Sarah and I talked a little bit about this when we were doing the show together, and I find it very strange because, to me, I equate it to something like this. I'm going to a news destination online. I see the top news articles. If all of a sudden there was a promoted news article, I would think, I just find it very strange. I mean, either things are, you know, the top trending topics or they're not. The idea that they're being promoted there, I just find it.
Well, and I don't know how many people use the Twitter homepage. I mean, do you see that if you're using a Twitter third party application?
I think you can. Yeah, I think in some of the
shows up there too.
The trending topics, but still, I mean, I think you have a good point. That's not exactly why. In fact, I try to veer away from them because usually they're stupid, you know, Justin Bieber topics or
right.
You know, it tends to be, again, just sort of mainstream conversations that aren't really all that interesting.
Well, as much as Lady Gaga gets the internet, there's a guy who doesn't. We're going to talk about somebody who says the internet fills your head with numbers, and that can't be good. But before we do, I'd like to talk about our friends at Citrix, the creators of GoTo Assist Express, a product we started using at the Screensavers many years ago to help our viewers with their systems. Now it's improved and fast. It's got so many nice features. It's for the tech support, the IT person, the software support person who has a lot of users they have to support. GoTo Assist Express makes it fast, it makes it easy, and makes you a support hero. I want you to try it free for 30 days. Go to GoToAssist.com/night/NIGHT, and you can install it and use it. In fact, if you've, you know, even if you're just somebody like me who has a lot of friends and family who need support, you can just use this for 30 days and get them all cleaned up and all fixed up. I use it with my mom. It's very simple. You install it right now. It takes a minute. GoToAssist.com/night. And then the next time somebody needs support, you just send them a link, or you say go to the GoTo Assist website and here and enter this ticket, and then they get the software. It takes them just a few seconds, and now you can get into their system. In fact, you can get into their system ever after, even unattended, if they allow you to, which is really nice. You don't have to wait for them to show up. You can do 8 sessions at once. So if you start a scan on one system and install on another system, you can go to the 3rd and 4th and 5th and 6th. So you're never, you know, sitting there waiting, you know, twiddling your thumbs while something continues. It'll give you an assay of what operating system's running and what security software in the background, Mac or PC. In fact, you could support a Mac from a PC, a PC from a Mac. It's so great. I want you to try it free. 30 days. Be a support hero. GoToAssist.com/night. And we thank Citrix so much for their support of the Net at Night program. So I love this. This cracks me up. Prince says the internet is a fad.
He thinks it's a fad. He did an interview with The Mirror where he was talking about the internet and the impact it was having, and he feels as though he doesn't really need it in his life. And in fact, his next CD is just coming out as an actual physical CD. He's cut off deals with many of the big music distributors online.
He says iTunes won't pay me royalties, so I'm not going to use iTunes. Advance royalties. You know, they won't pay me before the... this guy, it's so funny. For somebody who's so smart, so talented, he just doesn't get it, does he?
He doesn't get it.
Or is he doing this on purpose?
It makes me really not like him.
Really?
I don't know. I don't know. I mean, I've seen Prince play. I think he's a very talented musician.
I love his music.
I really do like him. I've listened to him for years. Internet is over, and he's not really embracing it. I mean, he has some comments in this article where he's talking about consumer electronics, and he thinks that digital gadgets aren't good for you. I mean, I tend to kind of veer away from those type of people because I think that they just don't like change and innovation, all the things that I kind of embrace and love. And especially in the music industry, I don't know how he can say this. With all we've seen that's happened for artists, I don't know how he can turn his back on what's happening on the web right now. I mean, love to get Prince and Bob Lefsetz talking a little bit.
These quotes are hysterical. He says the internet is like MTV. He said the Mirror is interviewing him. At one time, MTV was hip, and suddenly it became outdated. He says, the internet just fills your head with numbers, and that can't be good.
I know. It's like, I almost feel like he was drunk when he was being interviewed or something. It doesn't, even the comments don't make sense. Now, I know he's felt this way about technology.
He said this before. Yeah.
Yeah, he has. And as far as I understand from this article, he's even taken down his official website. I mean, that's how little he wants to engage online.
Remember, he went after all the people with Prince videos on YouTube.
I know.
I mean, he's really, I don't think this is just a publicity stunt.
He's
releasing
the
CD called 2010, in the Mirror, in this newspaper on Saturday, and a number of other newspapers and magazines, Rolling Stone in Germany and so forth. But the funny thing is, okay, so these 10-song CD is going to appear on these papers. How long before it is on the internet, only he's not making any money from it because it's on all the BitTorrent sites?
And Leo, you have to agree with me here that this is only going to anger people online. This is only going to make them want to distribute, as I'm concerned. And I think that there's going to be a huge backlash against Prince. And I know he's been successful. This is his 27th album. He's had tons of hits. But really, in this day and age when there's so much competition, there are so many new artists who are great and even giving away their music for free, that I think that he's going to be in a rough spot. And I definitely don't agree with what he's doing.
Well, he's really exacerbating it because by only making it available outside the U.S., for instance, he's just telling his U.S. fans, well, you can't buy it. You can't download it. So what are they going to do? They're going to put it up on the internet. They're going to get their British friends to take the CD, rip it, and put it up on the internet. So it seems to me, I also want to give the Purple One some credit and say, oh, this is a clever publicity stunt.
Yeah, but if it is, it's one that could bite him in the butt. I mean, we all know how difficult it is. Not how difficult, but how much more effort it takes to go out and actually buy a CD. I can't even remember the last time I did that.
Where do you go? Is there a CD store in town? I don't think so. There's not one in town. You have to go on Amazon.
Yeah, I mean, you have. And so I don't think, you know, even though his record might sell well and his concerts may do well, you just can't compete with how easy it is to buy music online and the fact that people will continue to do that. And it's just growing. And I don't know. It's sort of coming from left field for him. And
he's such an eccentric, I guess. It's just Prince. I'm not going to hate him. And I love his music and I will still love his music. The chances of me buying this CD now are fairly low, though, where I don't even know how I would do that.
I know. And that's the thing that I think is the most frustrating is that I probably won't get to appreciate a lot of his music, like just like you mentioned.
Right.
You know, whereas Lady Gaga, I'm exposed to it everywhere. You know, I can watch her videos for free and all of a sudden I know a lot more about Lady Gaga than I ever expected to know. And with Prince, it'll be the exact opposite. I probably won't hear this album. I won't hear any of the songs on it. I don't really listen to a ton of commercial radio. And therefore, you know, it's, I think, a missed opportunity.
You still have Sam the Record Man in that. On Yonge Street, right, though?
No, Leo, that closed down.
What?
Yeah, Sam the Record Man closed down, I think, a couple of years ago, and it was quite an event in the city. For people don't know, in Toronto, there was this music store called Sam the Record Man where you could go and buy albums. It had been around forever, a very famous sort of kind of the go-to place for young people, especially when they would come to visit Toronto.
I used to go there.
Yeah, it's closed down. And there was a big party when they shut down the place because so many people have really fond memories of it. But again, just a sign of the times.
Yep. I guess you could still go to Walmart or Best Buy and buy CDs. But it's almost like even if I could buy the CD, then what am I going to do? I'm going to take it home and rip it?
I know. I can't remember the last time I did that.
It seems like so much trouble. I could just push a button on iTunes.
All the songs, and then all of a sudden I have this CD case that gets thrown in my car and broken and I have to recycle it because it's garbage. You know, it's a waste.
Doogie points out in the chat room that it's kind of hypocritical of me to be shocked that a record store that I haven't been to in years is closed down. It's like, well, of course it's closed down. Nobody goes there. I have nostalgia for Sam the Record Man, but I don't think I ever bought a record there. I know a lot of people, a lot of Torontonians did, but
yes,
I'm sure they stopped after a while.
Oh yeah, I'm sure.
All right, one more story, and then we're going to get Tony on the line and talk about why work sucks.
All right. So this is a story about Foursquare, and it just read it on Mashable today. It's about them launching layers in the application. For people who don't know what Foursquare is, it's a location-based service where you check in at a certain location. I think, Leo, you were mayor of your local theater for some time. Are you still mayor?
No. We have a city councilwoman here, Tiffany Renee in Petaluma, who's very hip, and she usurped me as mayor. But I am still, if I go to Foursquare, I think I'm still mayor of a lot of venues here, because Petaluma, which... Remember when Foursquare first started, it was only certain urban areas. So Petaluma was too small town. So I was like the only user. So I was mayor of a lot of places. I think that's rapidly shifting. Changing. Yeah, everybody's on Foursquare now.
Yeah, so now with the introduction of layers, that means essentially that you could be touring around the city and checking in at a certain location, and then you could get tips about that location or advice or some facts about that location that appears kind of as a layer over your application on Foursquare. So an interesting introduction. They have some examples of this. One is from IFC, which I think IFC is the... They do the film reviews, if I'm correct, film destination, where they allow people to get tips. They've just annotated certain locations, and based on member tips, you can see little snippets of, you know, facts and figures, and just this additional content that kind of appears as a layer over your Foursquare app. I mean, it's an element of kind of, we've talked before about augmented reality and how they use layers in augmented reality when you could take a picture going down the street and then see a kind of a layer on top. Of your screen. So, you know, just enhancing Foursquare a bit, which is great, I think, for businesses. I'm sure they love it. And for individuals who just want that extra piece of info. I mean, imagine touring around a new city and being able to get all these, you know, little tips and advice and facts and everything just by checking in at a location. I think it's kind of cool.
I'm mayor of my house. But
I'm glad you're mayor of your house.
Well, here's the funny thing. I created two houses, two Shea LaPortes, and I never checked into the first one. So somebody who works at O'Reilly Media, the O'Reilly Publishers, became mayor of my other house that I never checked into. She thought it was pretty funny.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Suzanne. Yeah, very funny. Ha ha.
Ha ha.
I'm mayor of my gym. I'm mayor of a local restaurant here, of my hair salon. Of the high school the kids go to. And, of course, I'm mayor of the Twit Cottage. But, you know, I don't check in anymore via just Foursquare. Because, you know, there's Foursquare, there's Gowalla.
Yep.
There's Whirl. There's a whole bunch of these. So I check in through a single site that Brightkite created. I think Brightkite was kind of losing the game. So they created a thing called Check.in. Have I mentioned this before?
I don't think so. I've heard of it, though.
Yeah, you go on your mobile phone. They have a mobile site, m.check.in. And you could check into all at once. And then now there's a new iPhone app called FootFeed. Terrible name. About the worst name I've ever heard. And FootFeed is kind of a similar idea. It's a multiple check-in application. So you launch FootFeed, and then you check into all of the sites at once. So I'm just going to check into Twit via FootFeed, check in here. And now Foursquare, Brightkite, Gowalla. If I had Facebook, I'd be checked in. Seeing that, I don't know. Is that cheating to use one app to check into all the sites?
I don't think so.
Kind of feels.
I mean, that's like say, is that cheating using something like Hootsuite to post to Facebook and Twitter and LinkedIn at the same time? I think these are just all time-saving tools out there. The reality is you're not going to want to check into all these different tools. But being able to use one is great because you can connect with those different networks. I have never used Gowalla. I know we've had
like
it on the
Gowalla.
Show, but
do
you like it?
Yeah, you know, I... Let me see if Foursquare's been updated on the iPhone here.
I'm just chuckling at you.
I'm starting to feel like John C. Dvorak. Why would you want to check in anywhere? I don't need to know where you are. It's all kind of silly. See, here's a problem with Foursquare. I have 3,436 people wanting me to be my friend, and you have to check one by one. You have to click it. So I apologize to all of you folks.
That's frustrating.
Yeah, that's a lot of work. And now
I feel that way about LinkedIn, too. It's a little bit of effort to go in and
they should
add.
Make it easier, shouldn't they?
They really should. Although I will say, and I know this is a bit of a tangent, and we should get our guest on, but LinkedIn, the experience is getting better and better. I kind of ignored it for a while. But
I'll have to try it.
You should try it. It's definitely more social than it ever was.
Oh, good. I'll try it. So we're going to get Tony on in just a little bit. But before we do, I want to mention something that Amber knows a little bit about, Hover.com. It's the domain name registration site that I use now that I prefer and I recommend. And you may remember it as Domains Direct, Hover's been around for some time. They've rebranded as hover.com, but you still get that same great service. In fact, if you call Monday through Friday, 9 to 8 p.m. Eastern, they have a no-hold policy. You get through to customer service right away.
A human.
Amazing. Lawsy.
What a concept.
Yeah. They also don't do that upsell thing that drives me crazy. Nearly everybody does this now. You buy a site and you got 50 clicks. No, I don't want that. This is just very straightforward. If you go to night.hover.com right now, you'll save 10% off your new domain registration. Very affordable. Great customer service. They don't sell a lot of extra stuff on top of it. They just want to make it easy for you to register and manage your domains and email. By the way, talk about a very useful thing. If currently your email is through Gmail or Hotmail or your internet service provider, can I recommend that you get your domain name? You don't have to have a website. Get a domain name and make that your email and have it forwarded through Hover to the Gmail or the Hotmail site. That way, when you change email, and you will, you don't have to tell all the correspondents. You have an email address for life.
Yeah, and it's very professional looking. I mean, I think that
much
helps
better.
A little bit if you're networking. And I mean, what I will say about Hover, all you have to do is go out and check their website at hover.com and see how friendly it is. I mean, it is kind of a new way of doing things that people have been very frustrated, I think, with other places where you register domain names because it's very cluttered. And like you said, they're upselling. And this is actually a positive experience. And a lot of people maybe can't wrap their heads around that, but it will be a friendly experience actually registering and managing all your domains, and you won't be frustrated like probably you were on other sites or services.
It's from the folks that you and I have worked with before and really love, Two Cows.
Yes, and they're really great people, and they, you know, just the idea that you can actually call and talk to a human if you're having problems. I don't know how many people have asked me, said, oh, I've just registered a domain name. I can't figure out how to transfer it. I don't know what to do with it now. I mean, with Hover, you'll be able to get all of those answers, and you'll be able to actually talk to someone. They're also using Twitter, and they're just available, and they're accessible, and, you know, it just will be a very, very positive experience for anyone who tries it out.
You know how they became a sponsor on the show is I ran into Elliot Noss, the CEO at Two Cows, at South by Southwest, and he was telling me about Hover. I said, you know, I'm looking for a great domain registrar. Please, you know, finally, because, you know, I don't use those other guys, the one that every other podcast advertises. I said, you should be advertising so people know that there is a better choice, and they are. And so thank them. Show them you appreciate it. Hover.com. In fact, go to night.hover.com for 10% off your next registration. Now, go ahead.
I was going to say, especially good for those people like Chris, my fiance, who is addicted to registering domain names.
Oh, is he one of those people?
Dozens and dozens, yeah. So he's playing around right now with Hover. He is one of those people who every time he comes up with a good idea, and if you're listening, don't pretend that you aren't out there, because I know you are. Mm-hmm. This is a service where you can manage all of those in one place and have and not be frustrated and not be annoyed.
I think we all know somebody like that. And I wish I'd been like that back when I first heard about the internet in 95. I'd own some useful names. But people who just register, they say, oh, great name, and they register it at the drop of a hat.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and you should, because you never know.
You never know.
Hover.com. Go to night.hover.com for 10% off. So let's get our guest on. What do you say? Tony Schwartz. Why don't you tell us about Tony while I dial him up?
Yeah, so Tony is the author of a new book called The Way We're Working Isn't Working. So the idea that we should be taking more time for ourselves and just shifting up the work environment. And he also runs the Energy Project. And the idea there being that you should take back time, like your lunchtime, and actually sit down and enjoy some lunch with people. And it's an effort that he is spreading across the U.S. and encouraging people to meet up in parks and sit down, have picnics, and just kind of relax a little bit.
Well, and we're making him work right now. Hi, Tony.
Hi there.
Well, fortunately, we have a better connection this time around. I apologize about last week.
I'm so thrilled. It's so exciting.
So are you like Tim Ferriss, the 4-hour work week guy? Are you saying that people should work just a few hours a week? Or?
Well, two things on that. Number one, I know Tim pretty well, and that's one guy who doesn't work 4 hours a week.
Yeah, I was going to say, he seems like he works a lot harder. Exactly.
Yeah, no, he's a hard worker. He got the 4-hour work week was a great title. God bless him. I jokingly, one of the people in our group said to me, why don't we call this book the 40-hour work week? Because remember, you used to have a 40-hour work week.
I would love a 40-hour work week.
Exactly.
I would kill for a 40-hour work week.
There you go. And you know what, Leo? Here's the idea. The idea is, when you're working, really work. But you can't work continuously and work well. So when you're resting or recovering, really recover. If I was going to tell you the absolute simple essence of this message about the paradigm we need to insert into the work world, it's intense effort, real renewal. That's the game.
I learned that lesson from a book called The Now Habit. Do you remember that book, Tony? This was many years ago. And it's exactly what he said. He said, the problem is you have to have leisure. You gotta actually take your time off.
You know, it's grounded in physiology. We human beings aren't meant to operate like computers at very high speeds continuously for long periods of time. And as you've just shown in your previous segment, trying to run multiple programs at the same time.
Yeah.
You know, that's not the way we're designed. We're designed to be rhythmic beings. We're designed to pulse. Every system in our body works best when it pulses. So your heart rate, when it goes up and down, your brain waves, when they go up and down, when things get flat and linear, continuous, you're in bad shape. You're near dead. You're dead.
So why is it we feel like we have to work so many hours?
You know, I've thought an enormous amount about that. First of all, the culture. We live in a world of unbelievable demand. We all know that. That's no big surprise. And, you know, I think it's gotten much worse during the recession because people have gotten laid off, but the amount of demand in a given job hasn't gone down. So people have had to do twice as much or three times as much as they were doing before. And then you add on top of all of this the technology. And, you know, all you have to do is watch your show and you can see how, I mean, pardon me here, but intrusive the technology is. You know, you are surrounded by it. And so you've got 15, 20, 30 inputs coming at you all the time. And what people do is they default into the idea that the only way to keep up is to try to juggle them.
Yeah.
Well, that's not a very effective way to do good work or even to be efficient.
Do you think the quality then of the work that we're doing these days is affected because of all this technology? We're multitasking and just trying to do too many things at once?
Hold on, let me just get that email and I'll get right back.
I'm sorry, I'm playing Tetris right now.
You guys are ignoring me. I mean, well, I'm going to just check in on
there's Foursquare. There's absolutely no question. And I have a blog actually that's up on in two different forms, one on HBR.org and one on Huffington Post today about email addiction. I really believe that what's happened is we've gotten addicted to the constant stream of information, to sensation, to immediate gratification. And we all know that immediate gratification provides pleasure, but it doesn't provide satisfaction. And so what I think you have is you have a much thinner, more superficial kind of knowledge and discourse than we've ever had before, and it's getting worse.
Now, do you have tips in your book in terms of what people can do about it? Because I think we all realize that maybe the way we're working isn't working, but do you have advice for people?
You know, I'm glad you asked that because the world won't listen unless I have five short bullet points of advice.
That's right.
Right. I mean, I can't. It's amazing how many, you know, how many times that's what people really want. But no, fair enough. I mean, this is practical and to, you know, have it way up high at a 40,000 foot level, that's not sufficient. So here's the number one thing that I think is really important. I had this experience where I was out speaking a couple of weeks ago to a big audience, very smart people, great company. And a guy comes up to me at the end of the talk and he says, you know, everything you said makes sense to me, except I can't possibly stop answering email all the time. And I said, really, why not? And he said, well, you know, I just couldn't bear to be disconnected that way. I go through withdrawal. And I said, well, what if you just turned it off for an hour? He said, no way. I mean, then how would I know what my friends are doing? So the number one thing you can do is to turn off your technology at certain points during the day in order to get really challenging work done. And the best possible time to do that is the very first thing in the morning, because for 90% of the population, that's when you have the fewest interruptions and the most energy. So what I would say is come in each morning, do the most important and challenging activity without interruption for no more than 90 minutes, because no human being can concentrate consistently at the highest level for more than 90 minutes. So do it for 90 minutes and then take a break. That is a prescription for richer, more efficient work.
Now, what about the idea behind the energy project? Because it's a little bit different in the sense that it's more about taking breaks for lunch and connecting with people.
It's actually very much of a piece. You know, we really wanted to create something that didn't only address big businesses and organizations, but that really hit home for people at the most visceral level, at the personal level, around how they're working. And, you know, we went out and we started asking people the question, we actually did a poll asking people, how long do you take for lunch? And what we got back was that people on average are taking less than 20 minutes for lunch almost all the time while sitting, you know, over their computers, dripping food on their keyboards. And
a sin.
It just seemed insane. You know, how crazy is that? Isn't lunch a constitutional right? I mean, what happened to it? Right. So we really thought to ourselves, well, you know, people have just stopped going to lunch because they've stopped thinking about the fact that A, it's a good thing to do, and B, it's something they're entitled to do. And if they did it, what would happen is not only would they get renewed and well-fed instead of from a vending machine that they ran to in the middle of the, you know, workday, but they'd come back to work in the afternoon being more focused and more engaged and better able to work productively. So it's one of those rare win-wins for individuals and organizations. So why not go out there and make the case? It's not a case that serves anybody badly. And let me put it positively, it serves everybody well. And we've had this extraordinary reaction in, you know, some 90 cities around the world, including crazy places like Kuala Lumpur, on our takebackyourlunch.com website. And I sure invite your viewers and listeners to get on our site and join the movement. So on that website, takebackyourlunch.com, we have a meetup opportunity for people. And we let them set up meetups anywhere they want, because this is a self-organizing movement. We're not trying to make it happen entirely on our own. And sure enough, people all over are signing up because they're recognizing, hey, this makes me feel better. Why shouldn't I do it?
I hope my employees don't see this.
Do not. Yeah. Do not let them see that.
Do you consciously or unconsciously keep them from going to lunch?
No, of course not. In fact, you know, as a boss, I think it's really true that you almost have to, especially in a startup, you almost have to force employees to take some time off, because you could see them burning themselves up. And you don't want them to burn themselves out. You know, you force them to go home. I send people home frequently because they will work, especially young people. They will work until you stop them.
Yeah. And, you know, that's great for the short term. But over time, it's really not serving anybody well. And that's really what happened, where, you know, this whole attention thing is the same issue. It's, you know, it's the default instinct for instant gratification at the expense of something richer and deeper and more long lasting.
Right. Well, and I have to force myself to do the same thing too. You know, if I don't take time, I work a 7-day week these days, and I really have to force myself to take those 2 days off a week. There seems to be so much more to do than ever before.
So you work a 7-day week and you take 2 days off.
I don't. I'm saying I wish I could take 2 days off, and I have to force myself sometimes to just not work. I know that feeling.
Yeah, I mean, this is what's happened is we really, and I do believe it's an addiction, is that we've gotten so habitualized to the instant gratification that we get from all the different things that we do that we have overlooked the costs that they're incurring. And we're all sort of operating in this mode. And when I say the way we're working isn't working, what I mean is that the world has changed. And when capacity is exceeded by demand, I mean, this is really the key point. When capacity is exceeded by demand, or put the other way, when demand exceeds our capacity, suddenly, for the first time, capacity becomes important. You don't have to think about your capacity, meaning the fuel in your tank, so long as you've got enough.
Right.
And for years and years, we did. But now, suddenly, we don't. We all know we don't, but we have no idea how to pay attention to it. We've taken it for granted. Now we have to become fiercely intentional, and I underline that word fiercely, fiercely intentional about taking back control of our lives.
Well, okay. I hope that we can get there, because
I wonder if some of this doesn't have to do with the economy. I mean, I think people are so grateful that they're working that sometimes they feel like, well, I just have to work harder because I need to keep this job.
Yeah. I mean, this is a kind of a unspoken conspiracy between organizations and individuals, you know, where the individuals are operating from fear.
Right.
They see the desk next to them empty.
Right.
And they say, I don't want to be the next person to go. And if I'm not sitting in this seat, then I'm going to be perceived to not be contributing. And here's a key point. We talk about managing energy. We're called the Energy Project because we're talking about personal energy. And what we're saying is that it doesn't pay to try to manage time. There isn't any more time in our lives. We've used it all up. We don't have any available hours. But you can manage energy by recognizing that it's not about the time you invest. It's about the energy you bring to whatever time you invest. So what we really need to get organizations and individuals to discuss and realize is that we oughtn't to be measuring people any longer by how many hours they work. We ought to be measuring them by the value they create during whatever hours they work. And we ought to treat employees as human beings, or not just as human beings, as adults who have the ability to decide for themselves what the best way to get the job they have done is. So right now, what we're doing is we're saying, sit there in that chair for the next 12 hours and I'll measure you as success.
Right.
But if the person is 20% engaged during those 12 hours, that's not better than having a person sitting in that same desk for 6 hours, 80% engaged. You do the math.
So both as individuals and as companies, we need to be thinking about this and responding to it and doing something about it. It's not just the individual, the company too.
Well, yes. I mean, you know, there's a whole kind of parallel track here. So we in the Energy Project are out there trying to get organizations to rethink how they invest in employees. So instead of trying to get more out of people, we're trying to teach them how to invest more in people,
right.
How to invest in meeting their needs, recognize their needs, meet their needs. And then what you're doing is you're freeing them and inspiring them to bring more of themselves to work. So that's one track. But guess what? It's not going to happen everywhere. The companies that need us least are the companies that hire us most. So our clients are places like Google and Sony Pictures and Apple and places that are very forward-thinking, progressive, and incredibly successful. They don't really need us. They're the kinds of folks who are always looking for the next edge. The companies that need us most are much more conservative about using this work because they're more fearful of it. It's not what they already know. But if they stick with what they already know, they're not going to be around for much longer.
Right.
Now, at the individual level, just very quickly, at the individual level, it's a whole other issue. And that is that no employer is ever going to be perfect. There's always going to be stuff to complain about. There's always going to be stuff your employer isn't doing. I'm sure that people sitting around me right here in my office think there are all kinds of things I could do that would make it better. Right? I do let them go to lunch. I do encourage them to go to lunch, but I'm sure there are lots of other things I don't do. But the issue is, are you willing to take personal responsibility for the things you can control? Can you put your energy where you have the power to influence your circumstances? Because no matter what your work environment is, you can influence your work circumstance. You can build in renewal, for example, which is so critical, into your day. And even if you have a boss hovering over you, you can take 30 seconds or 45 seconds or 60 seconds every hour or so to do a breathing exercise. You are never going to have a boss who comes up to you and goes, hey, I see you're breathing there again. Now, that's not allowed.
Not allowed. No breathing.
Let's hope not.
You know, so again, it's. Are you willing to intentionally build behaviors into your life that allow you to get your life back? Because don't you feel sometimes, don't both of you feel like somehow my life's gotten away from me?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, it's pretty, I feel like especially I think with email and keeping up with things, I don't want to say I've given up because I still work really hard, but I know that I will never have everything done. Like those days when I started working after university and I felt like, okay, everything is done and tomorrow is a new day.
No.
I will never have that experience.
No more inbox zero for us.
No, there's no more.
But you're making a really important point because what's been ripped away from us by the blend of demand and technology is stopping points, finishing lines.
Right. We're never done with our work. You're right. We're never done.
We're never done.
So if that's the case, then you have to step back in and build intermittent boundaries, intermittent finish lines into your life. So, for example, human beings are designed, as I said earlier, to work in increments of no more than 90 minutes without a rest. Well, what if you built that wave into your life intentionally? And every 90 minutes, you took some kind of recovery or rest, even if it was as little as 30 to 60 seconds. That's a very powerful thing to take back from a world that has snatched away your ability to stop.
Mm-hmm. I could
listen to you forever, Tony.
Well, here's what you do. You go to takebackyourlunch.com and take back your lunch. That's a good start. And then you might want to take a look at theenergyproject.com and Tony's latest book, The Way We're Working Isn't Working, The Four Forgotten Needs That Energize Great Performance, both for companies and individuals. We need to be responsible for ourselves, but we might need also a little help from our employers. Tony, it's great to meet you.
Thanks so much, Tony.
Thank you, Tony
Schwartz. Thank you. I really appreciate being on.
Take care. TheEnergyProject.com. We're going to get you the video of the week in just a little bit. A profanity-laced video, right, Amber?
Well, yeah, after 1:15. That's why you have to stop it by then, Leo.
Oh, we'll just bloop it. I like it. It's so funny. You're going to love this.
It's cute.
Before we do, though, I want to mention Squarespace.com. You know, one of the ways you can change your life is by having a website. In some ways, a website can do the work for you, can it?
It definitely can, and Squarespace is so easy. I recommend it about 5 times a day.
Do you have a blog or a website for your book? I mean, is there a place you can go to read Power Friending?
Yeah, you can just go to powerfriending.com, and the site was built on WordPress. But Chris, my fiancé, uses Squarespace all the time and absolutely loves it.
So this is the key. I mean, whether it's WordPress or whatever, building a site kind of it gives you a portal on the internet that people can go to. It kind of does some of your work for you. That's my point here. Now, Squarespace is a great place to make an exceptional website. And by the way, a lot easier than a lot of other sites. Squarespace.com/night. You can try it out. Take a look at the example sites. And Chris's site, chrisdick.com, is there. So is Clayton Morris's site. A lot of our friends, Kevin Rose, Sarah Lane. A lot of people I know, and I include myself, use Squarespace for their blogs, for their websites. There's our site, InsideTwit.tv. This is our company blog. If you go to squarespace.com/night right now, you'll see how you can create these beautiful sites. You start off with wonderful templates. And then they're
so easy to use.
Exactly. Very easy to customize, to make look unique. No two Squarespace sites look alike. And that's one of the reasons I really, really love Squarespace.
And you can change it up easily. I mean, that's always been a frustration of mine when I've had other people build websites for me, is that all of a sudden I want it changed and I have to go back to them and they tweak something. With Squarespace, you can move stuff around. You just drag and drop it. I mean, it is so dead easy. If you understand how to use a computer and how to surf the web, you can build a site on Squarespace in no time.
Squarespace.com/night. Try it free for 15 days. You don't even need a credit card. It's very easy. If you decide to buy, use our promo code night, because then you'll get 10% off for life. And the price is right. $8 for the basic site, all the way up to $50 for a major community site with multiple editors, tons of bandwidth, lots of storage. Squarespace.com/night. We thank them so much for their support of the Net at Night program. And we will continue to use their products like crazy. All right. Tell us about the story behind this this video we're going to see.
Well, this is a fun little video. I was searching for our video of the week, and you know, there are lots of music videos out there, professionally done videos, and I stumbled across this particular one. I thought you would like it. It is the iPhone 4 versus the HTC Evo, and it is done using a tool that I think we've talked about on the show before called Extra Normal. And that,
you know, I was wondering when I saw this, because it obviously was some sort of system that they used to create this.
It is, and I think we interviewed the founders of that company.
Did we really? Oh, how funny.
Yeah, I think we did. The idea of it is that you can go in, you can pick these characters, and then you can essentially add text, and then the characters will voice the text. So you can almost create your own little animated movies without having any special knowledge. And this is one that geeks will love.
So they give you a little kind of like little Lego men people.
Yeah, different characters you can pick.
And then you write the script in, and it voice synthesizes it.
Yeah. And I mean, you can, there's more to it than that. I mean, you can actually control where the, like what side the characters are on. You can do a lot of different things in the extra normal site that give you total control over what the movie is going to look like, backgrounds, everything.
This is pretty cool. So this guy works at Best Buy. In fact, his job is in danger because they don't like it that he is bad mouthing one of their products. But he did two videos. One at an Apple store, a phony Apple store. One at a phony kind of Best Buy-like store. This is a woman comes into the store, and she wants to buy an iPhone. And listen to what happens.
Welcome to Phone Mart. How may I help you?
iPhone 4. Where is the iPhone 4? I need an iPhone 4.
Oh, I'm very sorry, but we are currently sold out. However, we did finally get some more HTC Evos in.
What? What is that? Is it an iPhone?
No, it is that 4G phone on Sprint.
If it's not an iPhone, why would I want it?
Well, it's similar to an iPhone, but has a bigger screen.
I don't care.
The internet speeds are around 3 times faster.
I don't care.
It has a higher resolution camera on both the front and the back.
I don't care.
And it doesn't require you to be on Wi-Fi to use video chat.
I don't care.
Its battery is replaceable, as is the memory card.
I don't care.
It is highly customizable, everything from the widgets to the icons, the fonts, and even has video wallpaper.
I don't care.
The monthly bill is cheaper.
I don't care.
It prints money.
Oh, I don't care.
It can grant up to 3 wishes, even if one of those wishes is for an iPhone.
I don't care.
It has an app that will build you an island, and then it transforms into a jet and flies you there.
I don't care.
And it's mother indestructible.
I don't care about any of that.
Okay, fine. Then what the hell entices you about the iPhone 4, if you don't mind me asking?
It is an iPhone.
You do realize that doesn't mean anything, it's a brand. They could put out a f***ing brick and call it an iPhone if they wanted to.
Yes, but it's the best phone.
Can you explain how?
I can download apps to it.
Big f***ing deal. My 8-year-old niece's Boost mobile phone has apps in it.
It's 3G and has the Wi-Fis.
What the f***? Do you even know what that means?
I left the profanity in because it really doesn't get very funny until it finally gets profane. Oh, that's great, Amber. Definitely the video of the week. And watch the follow-up if you get a chance, because it's equally funny. And I hope the guy, even if he... I'm sure it doesn't really matter at this point if he loses his job. He'll get a better job making videos.
Yeah, he was pretty creative.
Yeah. Amber MacArthur is very creative. Her book is called Power Friending. Find it at powerfriending.com. You can also visit her blog, ambermac.com. Follow her on Twitter, Amber MacArthur. And did I do that wrong again?
It's Amber Mac. That's Amber okay, Mac. Leo. You
at
just remember
Amber
my
Mac.
First Twitter handle.
At Amber no. Mac. And, of course, she's on CP24 with her Web Nation show. And we'll see you next week. We do this show every Tuesday at 1:30 p.m. Pacific time. That's 4:30 Eastern. Let's see if I could do some math. 2030 UTC at live.twit.tv. Amber, have a great week. We'll see you next week on Net at 9.
All right. Thanks, Leo.
Bye-bye.